Yeah, it's a little gnat in China. Does China use the Tibetan calendar?
They certainly do.
Oh, okay. So there's other cultures that use it. It's the Hindus use it. A lot of Asia
If they used yours, Bob, they'd celebrate New Year's on the 1st of January.
Mm.
Well, their new year goes in 13.
February.
Right.
So
rotate differently.
Well, what I'm interested in is why...
And their year count is different, just like the Judas.
Right. So I'm interested in the
concept. So now even within your world, you don't even count it the same, and yet you recognize those other dates as empirically significant.
We recognize those other dates. What other dates do we recognize?
The Jewish year is 5863 or something.
Yeah, people quote that. Like people mention that.
Yes, people do, because they go by it, because yours is off.
Okay, so nobody in...
Yours is ACDC, BC, ACE, BC.
Well, it ain't mine, but it's the culture where I am.
Well, but that's what you're trying
and
to
do. And we took it. Over the world. We won World War II. We whipped them in Vietnam.
Well,
we ran the world. We're the triumph.
yes, but you can't make them. You can't make them go a mile. They still go a kilometer. If you're so powerful and you're so ruling, why can't you make everyone's rule of measurement the same?
Well,
I don't just stand.
We don't worry about little details. We just are the richest country in the world. We have the greatest entertainment, greatest everything, best rock and roll. We don't care about numbers. If they want to use meters, that's okay.
Yeah, it is. but if it's empirically, if you're empirically superior, why doesn't your rule reign?
That's visual space. We're kinetic culture. We're into movies and rock and roll and whatever else is kinetic, space satellites. So we want to dominate there. We don't worry about times and measurement systems because we know under electronic global village conditions there is no time. We just fill up the continent.
And guess what? That's the basis of the Tibetan calendar.
What is?
They don't know time.
Okay.
Here you go. They gauge it on, it takes this many minutes to walk to the beach, and the sun is this high while you're at the beach, and it takes this many minutes to walk back, and ever how long that is, that's a day.
Mm.
Okay? Because that's pretty much the same. Now, can it vary just a bit? It can, based on how you lollygag through it, but the gauge, the standard, is always the same. And then you judge how you did on your walk, on your power walk, by did you take longer or shorter?
Mm.
So what you're talking about is we're sorry. It's warming up now. You've got the hicking ups bouncing off pretty hard.
Good.
Because you're getting down to the meat of it. And this is replicated through the Let's talk about the Mayans for just a second.
Yeah.
Draw a little empirical thing.
You go into that, what is it about 13? Is there something in reality that makes 13 this interesting constant?
It does. It's not a number that's divisible by any other number besides 1 in itself.
Mm. And there are not many of those numbers.
Well, yeah, there's lots of those numbers,
but it's one of those. Okay, so it's got that going
prime,
for it.
The prime number. That was a very significant number in Freemasonry.
Yeah.
That was a very important number in the Knights Templars, and not Friday the 13th.
Which is today. We're doing 13 on November 13th, Friday the 13th. Interesting.
Yes, it's very wonderful. We had to get you there.
Yeah, thank you.
But we didn't want to put the spotlight on your malfeasance of time, but...
Yes, I mean, it's not really the 13th.
Not really. No,
it...
very, very good. But that 13 cycle is the 13 cycle.
Mm.
And it just works. And you've gotten off the beaten path of correctness, and we're not pushing against it. You know, you can have a 5-minute day if you want to. That's okay with us. We don't care. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to us because it's still time and it's still incorrect.
Yeah.
But you're asking what the significance of 13 is, and we say there were 13 tribes of Israel.
Mm.
They were 13 sections of pharaohic rule. There's 13 slides before you make a new slate.
Do you mean the bureaucratic levels or...
Pharaoh. Ruler of Pharaoh.
Yeah, but
when you have 13 pharaohs, when you have 13 pharaohs, they start a new chart.
Okay, gotcha, good.
Okay, the Mayans stack all their numerical calculations based on cycles of 13.
Hmm.
The Tibetans, the Book of the Dead, gives 64 different symbols that are replicated back and forth through 13 sets of we call them little bones, because the book is actually written on bones, flat pieces of bone. Well, once you do 13 bones, you turn the page.
Right, so 5 13s and 65, that's close to 64. You don't mean...
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so I don't know how 64 relates to 13.
That's just how many symbols that duplicate themselves back and forth through their section.
Ah, section of what?
Of how they count, of how they calculate, of how they navigate, calendar, of their timer, of their timing, of how they gauge the one rotation around the sun.
There's 64 symbols that are used to gauge one rotation around the sun.
Yes. Having an infinite number of numbers.
Oh.
Just like the Mayans.
Yeah.
Only did one cycle of the way the constellation goes, which is 13,000 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That's half of that. 13,000 is half of that. And that's what you're coming up on your November or December 21st of 2012. That's halfway.
Right, but what's that got to do with the 13? It's 13,000 years. But see, 60, you're saying that we have 10 numbers, we have 26 letters in the alphabet. The Tibetans have 64 symbols, and that's their,
yeah,
quote, alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
Or mathematical.
Yeah,
strength.
Equators. Equators.
Equatings.
That's what they use to compute. For their computation,
right?
They have 64 different symbols that can point you in the geographic direction.
Was that created when we were one continent?
Yes.
Right. It's like the UR means original. It's the calibration.
They call that the of Chaldees, isn't it?
Yeah, no, there is the of Chaldees. But no, there's somebody uses
We're just being...
Yeah, I know.
You've got us greased up now.
Yeah, good. But let's try to get the point. The the original calibration of time and cycles and sun and earth, was the 64 system?
Yes, and it keeps getting supposedly improved upon. So now you have GMT... time, which is different than every other time, and then you Greenwich time, and then you have daylight savings time, and then you have time zones, and then you have it's just a mess. The whole thing is
But it's a mess, but it's totally understandable when you understand that the printing press imposed this whole new grid over everybody.
However wrong it is imposed.
Yeah, but here's the thing: it's like a new swimming pool. You know, this print create a new environment, like McLuhan says, and everybody starts swimming around, and its dictates, its biases, became a collective meme. I don't rant against the print effect. I understand why it happened, and I know the electric environment is a different effect. And so we can start talking about how screwed up the print thing is, because that's an old medium now. But it's all screwed up, but we... do we want to get back to nature? You know, how can we get... accurate system would apply today if you have everybody living simultaneously in the digital thing like we are right now?
Yeah, none. But it's all based on the vestibule of time.
Yeah, you said none. The Tibetan, none of that would have anything to do with today, because we live timeless today. We don't think timelessly, but we live without time.
We gauge our day by how many text messages can be cut off.
many Christmas trees.
But now here's what's interesting.
Okay.
The Mayan calibration calculation.
Yeah.
And these are blistering idiots, remember. They don't know nothing about nothing. They don't even have Facebook. Okay. So yeah. They're out of it. Their calibration and calculation, which has now invaded the chip body.
Yes.
So much so that it's over.
And I have a movie about it started yesterday.
Everything in the whole wide world kind of calculates, and it's interesting how that whole gauge. Then you take the Tibetan, which is a completely, totally, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt separate system, is within 26 years of the Mayan themed count up or count over or count down.
Which means that there is a true way to do it, and you'll come up with the same system like the Mayans and the Tibetans did.
But it's so close, because this isn't how many leap years this has been in a 26,000 year cycle, you see. It isn't even about that. See, you'd be off by 26,000 days.
Right. So what is it though? If it's not that, it is what?
It is not that. What it is is a completely separate way of calculating, but it's odd, strange, macabre that they are so very, 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 very close to what the Mayan calculation was, and also what the Druid calculation was.
Okay, so I'm thinking that the Druid...
We're going to finish.
Let me just throw this thought in.
You want to remember is that Druids. We've just now ended the Druidia, the Druids and the Tibetans and the Mayans are within a cat's ass of being exactly the same.
Yes, and the thought that I'm thinking as you say that, where the Druids, I don't think the Druids and Mayans go back that far, but maybe I'm wrong, are they all the same because they come from the original one continent era?
No.
See, the Tibetans are from there. They go way back.
We like the 100th monkey better, and that's not exactly accurate either, but it makes more logical progressive sense for your human creators.
Right, but the reason they're accurate is that if you just look at the sky and you don't impose any systems or values, you just look at what is and notch it off, you will be relatively accurate, right?
Yes.
So it's not strange that those who are still in nature-embedded cultures, pretty natural, don't have printing press and Facebook and all that, they will come up with the same perception of pattern.
Yeah, you don't have Facebook, you have Stonehenge.
Okay, so I can, but tell me why you're startled at their similarity. You know, that's just my understanding. Now, what's your reason you agree with me that if you study nature relatively unbiased, you will see that pattern. Okay, but you're a bit amazed at it, so what is it? What's the extra part that I don't know?
The number of degrees that there is between the North Pole and magnetic north.
That's a factor they knew?
Absolutely. And the number of degrees that the pitch is between true north and magnetic north?
13?
Yes.
Okay.
And that number is changing. And that's why their calculations are even significant. You do understand that the last 13,000 year rotation, the north and south poles reversed.
When did they reverse? During the 13,000 years?
13,000 years ago, coming up.
Yeah.
From that last rotative cycle.
Which is 26,000 years. A rotative cycle is 26,000.
Well, it's half. Half of that cycle.
Can I get this determined? Is the amount that something goes around something 26,000 years?
Yes.
And what is it that goes around? What I can't. It's not.
We go through the constellation, through the Milky Way.
Okay, that's 26,000 years full circle. All right.
Full rotation.
Wait, beg your pardon?
Full rotation.
Yeah, but you keep mentioning the half cycle.
That's when that's all the Mayans do. They go to 13,000 years and they stop. The Tibetan years of that. But see, the Mayans is not exactly 13,000 years, but it's just very close for the math.
Right, but I never got it clear.
We're going to tell you.
No. Let me tell you what my always never got it clear the last 3-4 months is they use 13,000, and they know it takes two of those 13,000 to go around through
It's actually 25,644.
Right.
But who cares when you're talking about that length of time? It's not going to make a difference.
That's right. So the Mayans know, but they knew that the 13,000 was half the cycle, and they just perversely said, we're not going to make it 20. We'll just make it two 13,000s when we go, and we know we went the whole circle. Correct?
Yeah.
That's what we're agreeing on.
Yeah, it is. And the Tibetans did approximately the identical same thing. The Druids in Stonehenge did pretty much exactly the same thing. Because guess how many stones there were in the outermost circle of Stonehenge?
13.
64.
Oh, okay. Is that still there? I haven't been to Stonehenge.
The outermost is not.
Okay, gotcha. So there were
their bases, because people thought it was very significant to own a piece of it. So those were the very first pet rocks.
And when was that? When was that taken? 100 years ago? 1,000?
Oh, God. Thousands of years.
Oh, yeah, okay. Where does the 64 come from? The Tibetans had 64, but not the Stonehenge. You know, why did the Stonehenge have 64?
That was their full calendar, because the 64 works. If you divide the seasons into 64.
That means 4 into 64. Divide the seasons.
No. That's multiplying 4 times 64.
Okay, we're not saying the word divide. We're now changing it 64 to multiply.
Okay.
We have four seasons. How does that relate to 64?
Okay, four seasons. If you take 2 months and fit that into a season, give or take a bit, those numbers start making radically the same amount of sense.
Okay, you have four seasons, and you add 2 months into that. He didn't get that sentence. We didn't. Even Carol knows it didn't compute.
It doesn't matter.
You know, why are you putting 2 months into?
We're just trying to. We're not putting 2 months. We're trying to get you some semblance of yet a third rotation around your globe that had also an incorrect, wrong, very close to the original, very close to the sameness, very close to the preciseness or proclivity of your spans or journey of when all the constellations that you see in your sky make a full rotation, okay? We would say driving around the Earth, okay? If you drove around the Earth, and how many times would the wheel go around when you drove around the Earth? Well, it depends on the size of your tire, okay? Well, your size, and see, so all this numbering stuff that we're trying to desperately make sense out of and figure out makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. But what's interesting is that the Tibetan Book of the Dead is gauged on those same 64 symbols.
Yeah.
The Druidia has on the outermost ring of their calculator, telling them when the sun's going to be in vernal equinox and when is it going to be a comet? When is it going to be a meteor shower? When is it going to be a full moon, eclipse, a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse, and all those different things. See, it was all set up in the great big sundial of Stonehenge.
And they had 64
hours. So precise, there were 64 different other calibrations in the outermost ring of their cycle that kept their calendar, which was just a pile of rocks, perfect and accurate to within a half minute of a degree.
Right. Now, I'd like to know how they came up with 64. I don't know how anybody came up with 64.
They counted, and they have 64, and they noticed the same thing. They were full circle. And then that same thing that they saw from number one was the same thing that they saw after it did it 64 times.
What was it that they did 64 times?
Made the cycle of the rotation.
Of... what? The Earth
journey in time-space.
the perihelion or whatever it's called, the 26,000 years, that cycle, which cycle?
Yeah.
Oh, that one. So 64 somethings happened, and then they were had gone the 26,000 years. Nah, yeah. I don't think they were around that long. Were they around that long, 26,000 years?
No, Bob, but it didn't make a difference. It was just the way they could think. No. The same way you have...
Okay. I want to know how we come out. I know the Tibetans came out in 64 because they were the original continent, and I don't know why they came up with it. And now we have the Stone Age came out in 64. We don't know why. Let's begin with the Tibetans. What did they multiply, divide, and work with to
You're using that number as an empirical reference of how we're off, and that's not what we're saying. Why do you have 26 letters in your alphabet?
That evolved. They shaved. They shaved down. You know.
Okay.
The Phoenicians.
Okay. 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 The problem here go. The Tibetans didn't do any shaving. They had these symbols. It's almost like your computer technology of one and zero. Those are the valuators. 1001, 1001, 1001, 1001. Okay. That's just the way it worked. Okay. Those symbols, when they hit a mark, they'd attach a value, and there was only 64 different multiples of values that were appropriate, because there was only 64 different anomalies that they could value with a characterization of that symbol. Stonehenge, same way. There were only 64 different occurrences that they marked off in a circle, in the outermost circle of Stonehenge. Okay, now let's go into the Mayans. The Mayans only had 64 sets of calibrations that they stacked their time value of their calendar on stones. The 64 would start over, 64 would start over, 64, and they went around and around and around and around the stone, okay? And that's how you read their, you would call it a mythology, but it's becoming the meme that's going to end the world, according to your chip body.
Yeah.
So, and the Mayans were saying, you're full of shit, what are you talking about?
There was a news article with some Mayans.
The wheels on the bus go around, and when it goes around to 64 mark clicks, that's one revolution. Okay, so that's just one revolution. Okay, now your next revolution, what does that got to do with your next 13,000th revolution? Well, that's how far it takes to go all the way around the stone.
13,000 years takes to get around the stone.
64 clicks.
To get around the stone.
Around the stone, and then you start a next tier.
And what is the stone?
Where they mark this calendar of every anomaly that takes place in the sky.
But there's a bunch of stones at Stonehenge. Is there one particular one?
Stonehenge has no carvings on it. We're talking about the Mayans, Bob.
Oh, they have one stone.
No, they have multiple stones, too. But they're gauged in 64 clicks, and then they're stacked in the rotations because they tell when the eclipses are, when the seasons are, when the comets come, how they calculate all these things. See, those different symbols let you know, oops, coming up time for Halley's Comet. Okay, it's 72 years or whatever that number is, and then it comes. Well, then it comes, and then it comes. And they started noticing in their click work that the 64 kind of synchronizes the way they're keeping up with where Orion's belt is in proximity of the sky.
Did you say the number 72 in there? Did I hear 72?
Yes.
Yeah, what was that? Why did that get thrown in?
Halley's Comet comes every so many years.
Oh, okay.
About 72 years.
And then you went back to 64, so...
Well,
I'm interested in how the 64 came up. That's what's interesting. How the heck did they figure out 64?
Because the 64 clicks that got to the end of the stone.
Yeah, but how long is a click? You know, what the first guy.
They didn't have days. They didn't embrace the calendar. They embraced when they looked up at the high noon. Every day when the sun was highest in the sky, and then when low noon, when it was the furthest, they looked up from their temple, which was a big pointer, and what they saw in their focused gaze was something. And that's a click.
That sounds like one day. The noon hour to sunset is one click.
Well, and then midnight, because they would gauge it at whatever time they did it, it was always the same.
Right, so they had a span of time, and they called that one click, and they did 64 of those.
Was it at the 64 mark where they started noticing it repeated?
Yes.
Okay, so they got to a certain point and said, hey, 65 looks like one. Oh, maybe we'll just go around.
Right,
and the Tibetans did the same thing, and the Druids did the same thing, and the Mayans did the same thing.
Yeah, and I'd like to know what is repeated. What are they even looking at?
They saw in the sky, Bob, when the temple that they're the top of the stairs of in Geneva, they would go to the temple, the top of those stairs, and at the same click of when the sun did what it did, okay, or the moon did what it did, or light, dark, dark light, whenever they could see the stars, okay, at the same mark of the day, they looked up through the temple and they said, okay, what do we see here? Okay, we see
Orion.
Orion's belt.
Yeah.
Or
Big Dipper.
and exactly whatever they saw, that's what they recorded. Well, they did that, and once they went around the recorder, it would be like...
You see, basically, we're talking 64 days, Carolyn, like they did it 64 times.
Yeah.
And how could
the
you...
The same thing came back on day 65.
But it doesn't make sense because they didn't go all the way around the sky.
No, the sky came to them.
Right. Sky somehow. So the sky... You know, we're talking about thousands of years ago around the sun and all this stuff, but we went some kind of circle, 64 clicks or days, and they were back to the same point.
They ran out of place on the stone. That's how wide their rule of their stone was, Bob.
They ran, okay. Oh, they came back in this, okay, that's a different count. They just ran out of space. Oh, okay. But what is it that could happen in 64? There's a lot of constellations. I just don't see what could happen.
We don't know enough about astronomy to know.
That they somehow...
You haven't even paid attention to write to notice what they noticed from their 26,000 cycle.
Not me, Cal, but you mean our science hasn't.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing
Kent,
Printing press? That's right. That's the printing press did it. Blame it on that. Why don't you tell us what the heck they noticed in 64 clicks?
We have been trying to so desperately that
Okay. If you're such a good communicator, Carol doesn't know. I don't know. You've been trying. Both of us aren't getting. Us humans ain't getting it. So we're patient. We're willing for you to try again.
But you're not going to get it because you got to. We'll have to. We'll have to shift topics because there's no words now that are going to get you to the place where you go, aha, because there's too many variables. You've allowed too many variables.
Okay, no. All I ask you is to say the word. May not understand it, but what is it that they saw that repeated after 64 clicks? What did they see repeated?
They saw that if they didn't, after 64 clicks, they saw that they would be typing over their last 64 notations. So they had to go up a rung on their stone.
So you're saying it would nothing to do with what was in the sky. It was the fact they only had 64 spaces on their stone.
Yes, and that was the way to calculate it. But it's odd that the Tibetans had the same problem, and Stonehenge had the same problem, and the Mayans had the same problem, and the Pharaohs had the same problem. But this problem was a worldwide problem, that the wheels on the bus only go around 360 degrees. That's the problem. That they have 360 degrees, but then to make it work out correct, you have to have 380 degrees. So if you start going that way, then you've got to change everything. And you're like, well, I don't get it. And I'm like, we don't either. But that's what it seems to keep showing up and showing up and showing up. And you're asking for what it is that they saw. Well, they saw that that's as wide as a sheet of paper was.
Okay, if we could establish, and what was great is that Carol was totally confused by that, so it's not just me. And she was confused on the other side of the mirror. She said, no way, whatever it was. Were they all using one span of sunlight as a click, and that's why it all ended up the same size?
No.
No? They still end up with 64.
Right. Over and over and over. Nope. Even though their years are off, even though the length of their days are off, even though what the individual saw in their calculations was off.
This gets into like Dan Winter's idea that there's a rhythm in consciousness, in human calibration, that no matter what you attempt to do, you will set up a bunch of ratios and you'll end up in a harmonic 64 no matter what you attempt to do and what he's
using. Thank you. That is exactly correct. Now here you get, now you finally can get to the punchline. The punchline is that apparently, now we're not trying to trick those lying eyes of yours, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not trying to undo your very tactile labyrinth of your mind that you sift these things through.
Yeah.
But here's this punchline. The punchline is, apparently, now, we'll have to wait for 26,000 years to see if this really works out or not, but we're patient. We don't have a problem here. Apparently, in all of these cultures, in all of these belief systems, in all of these registrations, meaning you got to trust the Mayan to write down accurately what it is they saw.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do trust. You got to trust because they did a good job of being accurate.
You set the time when time runs out by it, so you must, by God, you must have a pretty good significant mark that's right as rain, or you wouldn't be selling off and getting rid of all of your economy, so it's almost over, so we want to get excited. We don't have to plant a garden in 2010 because it'll never make harvest, so we don't even have to plant nothing. We'll just eat, drink, and be merry, and dogs and cats can lay together because it's over, so we don't have to worry about them getting up the firewood for the wintertime because we ain't gonna be here. So the point is that all of these cultures shared a commonality, and it's called non-physical. Mm-hmm. And the non-physical penetrates beyond the plethora of time-space in that continuum, which is actually a conundrum, okay? But that's okay. It also starts relegating that even the different language barriers that you would have communicating. They'd point at their belly and they'd point at their mouth, and every culture understood their belly was hungry and they wanted some food for their mouth. Okay, they got it. You know, it's like JW was playing with his perfect Spanish, which is so hysterical, is he wants an ashtray, where's the bathroom, and more tequila, please.
That's all he needs, yeah.
And if you get that down, what else? Everything else is just periphery.
That's right.
You can point to how much and do your fingers like this for how many dinero this is, and you can point at something and they'll tell you about it or get it for you. So after that, it's all over.
It's all idle speculation. It's all talking about time.
It's inferred. Everything else is inferred. Good. So now that's the jizzy part. Now we're going to get to the point where we explain what you're asking. Mm. But you can't get there from right now because you don't have all the rudimentary. We got some more rudiment to do.
Good.
And that's why when you started this several spans ago, we said, oh no, Bob, it's three. Don't start that now because it's going to be, you got to be fresh and on point to get the point.
I got you. What about the fact there's 64 something in the DNA standard count?
Yes.
That's
that conundrum.
There it is. It shows up again. And 64 is 8 times 8, Carol.
Yeah.
Or it's 4... No, it's just 8 times 8.
Don't numerologically...
Okay, no, 8 times 8.
Don't do your numerological exegesis on what numbers are here. Because we're patient with that, because we're okay with your significance of what numbers are. But that's all they mean.
No, 414s. No, what's 4? That's 97. It's only. What goes into 4 into 6 is 1. And then you drink down to 24, 4, 6. It's 416.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, four, which is 2 8s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 8-8. That's the other one. 4 times 16.
Congratulations. You ciphered it. So, okay.
So the what I get the general thing is there's some kind, and that's what Dan Winter is trying to get at. There's some musical harmonic ratio that's bouncing along in the non-physical that comes out. It's like a cipher.
It's the rhythm of the non-physical.
Put through
a isn't that not what we were trying to say when we were smoothing this like peanut butter on a very crooked stone?
Yeah.
The sinus rhythm.
Oh, yeah. Sinus rhythm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. We didn't get that yesterday, so I didn't know how we would dare add this little...
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the... Here you go. You have a wick. You know what a wick is?
Yeah.
And you dip it in wax.
Yeah.
And you have a layer.
Right.
And you dip it in wax, and you have a layer, and you dip it in wax, and you have a layer. And then after a little while, you have a great big candle, and in the center of that candle is a wick. Well, that wick burns, okay? But the reason you dip it in the wax is to keep the wick from burning, so the wick will burn slow.
Mm.
Remember that long dynamic of how long candles burn? We did this already.
I remember that.
Different candles are guaranteed for a certain amount of time.
Gotcha.
But it doesn't ever work out exactly. Well, neither does your 64 within your Mayans and your Druids and your Tibetans, and all those though aren't perfect sciences either. You're trying to take what they used as their archetypal meme.
Yeah.
And use it as the gauge for the experience of understanding what it was that they knew.
Okay, this is an idea. If we think of the tactile as the interplay in the interval, though that we don't know if that's accurate, but the interval, as McLuhan used it, you have the golden mean talks about the interval. Then you get Dan Winter's update on that. The interval between the physical, the non-physical, and the labyrinth of mind, or maybe just between the physical and the non-physical, has this tactile beat of 64. That's what I'm getting from this. It's the number. Yeah. It's the number for non-physical, even though a number can't be matched on non-physical. If you were close to non-physical, everybody comes up with 64.
Yeah. Even Sonny Bono got it.
Yeah, what did he do?
He wrote the song The Beat Goes On.
Right, right, The Beat Goes On. So that's the beat. See, that's... Is it the beat between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost?
Tick-tock, tick-tock, metronomed time. Yes, 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 yes. And if we'd have said that, you'd have shot us in the head.
Yeah, we had to go through all this thing to figure out what the heck is each culture doing, how come they have the same, what is the same, what are they trying to measure? We don't know.
Yes. This is what they're using those symbols to... You're using their symbols to validate your time, and that wasn't what it was for or about. They don't care what time you think it is. See, that's the thing. And then you, well, why is it this, and how is this this, and 280, and 46, and 6, and 46, and 38, and 40, hut. Hmm. You know, we'll wait for the Hail Mary.
You know, if you had said that 64 was the number of the beat goes on between the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I might have got it. But then I wouldn't have known the Tibetans had it, or... All the
and the Druids and the Mayans and all this transubstantiation that validates the validation.
Yeah, and our modern gauge is DNA, the genetic era. You know, we think the DNA is the big control, the big clock. And so we come up with 64 in it. That's our version of Stonehenge or of the Tibetan.
So why are there 64 strands, Bob? Well, that's just how many strands there are, and then
why
are there 64 stones around Stonehenge? Well, that's how many times they went around, and then they ran out of circle. And if they did any more, they'd have to overlap on top of the next one, and then it would have been, the Tower of Babel.
But it's like gravity. As humans try to calibrate the non-physical, they're trying to figure out the relationship between you and you, collectively even. Yes. They will always come up with the right answer about what non-physical is.
Okay. Now, let's tell you what non-physical says is fixing to be next.
Okay.
You're coming up in your cycle rotation, and your polar fields are fixing to shift again. They've already started.
Right. Now, I think Ion said there was no shift.
No, there would be a shift, but we wouldn't notice it.
Now,
right. Very good. Very, very good. Very good. But there are some things that aren't going to show up. What you're going to find is that your compasses all of a sudden are changing.
Hmm.
Remember they had to realign the grid not long ago?
Did they, Carol, realign the grid? Which grid are you referring to? And when was
the one that's showing up in all these electromagnetic storms? What's causing all these geometrical, economic meltdown problems where these parallel rifts are opening and all these anomalies are showing up and all these things are people showing up in and out of walls? And
yeah, I understand that, but you said they changed the grid. Who's even working on that? You know what I mean?
Your calculators.
People? Human beings or computers?
They're
calculating what?
New grid. They had to realign it. Their old grid didn't work anymore.
Did they announce that in a Scientific American magazine?
We have no idea.
Okay, so they're working on what level? A bunch of nuts in a commune in California?
Well, that's what we say about most of you, Marvel.
I know. Or are people at CERN? What level of science or technocrat is doing this? Like, give us a gauge of who we're talking about.
We don't even know. We don't know how to say that.
Well, who's measuring the grid and changing it?
The grid measurers. We don't know, Bob. The ones that set your grid up to start with, that now they find out is wrong. We don't know who that grid person was, but it's very important. You have latitude and longitude doesn't work if you don't have a grid. If you don't have magnetic north,
Mason and Dixon did it.
Okay, then Mason and Dixon. Damn it, that was who it was. We don't know.
But when you say that since they are changing the grid, is it announced in the World Health Organization? Is it announced at the United Nations? Like who?
The who?
Yeah,
who?
Is it Dr. Who? I got that. We've done that joke. We don't need to do that one anymore, okay?
Oh, but it's eternal, Bob.
Yeah, it's eternal.
It's still funny every time.
Not for us humans. You guys are forever. We don't. We get bored. We want a new joke.
Yeah, but you didn't get the last joke, and you're ready for the next one. Yeah, it's like vaginas. You haven't even got this one understood yet. You're ready for another one. Yeah, there you go. Good for you, Bob.
Yeah, that's the sixth. That's the beat going on. We didn't even get the last one. We're ready for more, though, but we assume we did.
You're right, and that's okay. That's okay.
That's the way it is.
It's like churning butter. Well, when do you quit? Well, when it makes butter. Well, when is that? Well, when is butter? When it's made. Well, wait. When is it butter? Well, it's butter when you get it churned. What are you churning? You're churning milk. Well, what's milk got to do with butter? Well, that's what holds the solids, the milk fat that makes butter. What are we talking about?
Let's deal with the grid. Somebody announced the grid is changing, and I don't know what you can't
take your chip body and put the grid. See what it tells you. It'll take you worlds of spaces.
The grid. Okay.
You have this ethereal grid. You have this anomical grid. You have these different grids. They're all out of kilter now.
How recently did they announce the change?
6 years ago.
Oh, okay, good. Now we're getting something. We have a sense of what time it is.
You're 6 years ago.
Yes. Very good. Thank you for telling us that. So, anyway.
That's not new, though. That's old. So, you didn't know it, but it's still old.
Yeah, that's right.
So, now the new grid's in play. So, now the new cycle's starting over. Now, this 26,000-year cycle, of which you're coming into 13,000, there's going to be some anomalies that'll change. The Tropic of Cancer has to move.
Hmm.
Because it no longer, on the next cycle, it's upside down.
Hmm. It's flipped.
So you almost like it's like a count up and then a count down,
mm-hmm.
and then a count up and then a count down. Do you remember like if when you had a stick and you tied a string around it?
Mm-hmm.
Or tied a string and put a string to the top of it, and you put a ball on it,
mm-hmm.
and you move the stick, and the ball then goes around, and it stays attached to the string, so it wraps around the post.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll go 64 times, and then it goes back.
Mm-hmm.
And up and back, and up and back, and up and back. It runs out of string.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it, everything divides into 64.
Well, seems that way. Mm. That becomes the sinus rhythm of the day.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but
that
the
can
sinus
change.
Rhythm, you know what that is, right?
Yeah.
Is there a 64 aspect to it?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Are you saying there is, Ian?
No. No, whatever rhythm is, sinus rhythm, it just is.
Hmm.
Your normal sinus rhythm can be different between humans.
But we're talking about 64, and you brought up sinus rhythm, so it's naturally you'd say, oh, this has something to do with 64.
You took sinus rhythm and applied it to a heartbeat that varies, but it's just the gold standard of showing up and showing up and showing up. We didn't. We don't. We make it be 42. Okay, 42 is the number, Bob. That's the number for all knowing. That's all
no, no, 64, but
then you fit that into your thing. Oh, yeah, and then you go through the rest of your life figuring out what lines up with 42, and that's the answer. Okay, then, thanks for the fish. We're good.
Well,
so, those numbers don't matter. Those numbers don't matter. They just keep showing. You, creators, keep lining up with that showing up.
Right. There's no 64 in the sinus rhythm.
No, Bob. No, it's ba-bump, 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 ba-bump. So, you know, the pump works in four chambers. The blood, the oxygenated, unoxygenated vein stuff comes out, and it gets oxygen-rich, and then it's arterial blood, and it goes through four chambers of the heart. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now you've got JW doing a waltz out on the deck of 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. He's going to break out in a foxtrot and a quick step just any time now, all by himself, dancing with non-physical. It's going to get fun here. But it's just like that. What does that have to do with a quick step, and what does that have to do with a waltz or a foxtrot? Nothing. It's just different steps. Hmm. And so the beat of a tango is different than that of a quick step. But they're both beats.
Yeah.
But they're not the same.
Right. So
so sinus rhythm is varied between human and human creators. But yet your field calculates what your normal sinus rhythm is, meaning that it's just the normal, it's not fast or slow or skipping a beat. 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, 4, 1, that's not normal sinus rhythm. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's not skipping a beat. That's all sinus means, normal rhythm.
Right.
And that's what they gauge as the gold standard for normalcy. And if it's off than that, then they start listening and they'll find a murmur, a faint murmur. Mm. It's leaking between the chambers. That the pump is not operating at its optimal force. You have a myocardial infarction, and part of the pump dies. They call it a heart attack. Heart attack.
A thought I get is that humans have non-physical, so they're always in tune with each other.
Yes.
Even though they're
labyrinth. More than you know.
Right. And if any humans get together and say, you know, we don't know what's going on, let's try to figure out something. And then they can organize.
And they all come up with the answer, but then the something that they're all trying to figure out varies. So, yes, that's right.
No, I'm saying that any culture, a bunch of people get together, try to figure out something, they will come to the conclusion that everybody's in order. Everything is working okay, or there's an underlying order. And and it's mathematically represented by every culture coming up with 64.
Kind of, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But
now
then here's what you...
Okay,
now, if you've got that, now hold it.
Yeah.
Now hold it. Now, if you've got that, if you really want to get the pooch pregnant,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to screw the pooch, now you have to add the dynamic of the timeless, meaning you have past, present, and future that also has to fit the same conundrum. All right, now that's confusing enough.
Mm.
Because now it's got to work and work and work and work, and it doesn't seem to, because you keep changing the bar. You keep moving the bar, the standard of care, the standard, every standard. Then you remember those answers will be questioned. Okay, so then you get that down, if it gets even more protracted. Then you have parallel worlds that even have different variables within its vibration.
I'm glad you brought up parallel worlds, because I was going to say that these work, the cultures work out their systems of measurement, but it's always within the what they perceive, the nature, the habitat they're in. They can bypass all the concerns of figuring that out if they learn about parallel worlds, and then they go to other worlds, and this world falls away and becomes less significant. We don't. You come back here, it doesn't matter what's happening much here.
Thank you. Very good. Very good. Now, here's the empirical. Welcome. How are you doing today? Fine, thank you. Yes. Have a nice day.
That's because a ghost walked through. Yeah. A ghost walked through. Hello, how are you doing?
we can touch into that pretty easily. Yeah. Fine. Okay, so here's your answer. Here's what you're going to empirically notice and show up and start noticing. Now, this has been happening to JW for a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't understand it. And he quizzed it. And it would... And this is an anomaly that would cause him to polish silver.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a great deal for him to take action. But when he really has to focus on that detailed, oriented action, which makes his mind work 100% only on that,
right.
He won't answer the phone, he won't go to the bathroom, he won't eat, he won't drink. When he gets really focused on that, the whole wide world stopped.
Mm-hmm.
For him. Now, we're not saying this is what to do. This is just the crazy, silly thing he does because he loves rubbing his silver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he enjoys that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not work. It's joy. But it focuses his attention so much so that these large processes have to be worked out with their conundrums and with their anomalies. So the whole scope of things gets solved, so much so that he's comfortable with it. Here's the anomaly: long case clocks. Okay, you know what a grandfather clock, a long case clock is. Okay, they are gauged and calculated from the old school. Long case clocks are pretty old. Well, you have different gauges, meaning. You can have an 8-day clock or a 31-day clock, or you wind the clock and they have weights and they don't use electricity. They use the pendulum that's gauged, the tick-tock, that counts off your minutes of your day. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even keep up with full moon cycles. It'll do all kinds of fun things. Well, what he noticed, and he's spoken to you guys, and even before he fully got wrapped up with us, he was talking to the Abrahams regarding it, and it wasn't explained, but it was sort of understood, but it didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
What happens for him, he started noticing that instead of his clocks being wound every 8 days, it seems like 3.5 days now, the clocks have to be wound.
Mm.
And they keep perfect within a minute a month time. But it's not like the clock is running away, okay? They're keeping within 30 seconds to a minute a month, which is pretty damn good time when you're not on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that they're actually relatively precise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, but yet the weights seem to be running away. And they're still keeping time. That's an anomaly that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, in other words, they're tick-tocking, but they're going using it in 8 days up in 3 days, so you think it went faster, but they're still keeping regular time.
Very good. And that's the anomaly.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's actually happening. Gravity and your scientists of the day have validated this. Gravity is becoming less.
Right.
Well, you say right like it's no big deal. But
well, I'm pretty enlightened, remember. I'm pretty hip of all this stuff over the last 6 months.
Yeah, and then so guess what happens? Human beings, then guess what they do?
They get overweight to retrieve gravity. That's why obesity happens.
That's correct. It's natural.
Mm.
The groundedness.
Yeah, you can just take salt.
Right.
Can we announce tell this in public? Like, hey, all those are obese? If you were aware that gravity was lessening, and you knew that it was and believed it, then you wouldn't need to have a sense of balancing yourself so much. And then you wouldn't be so obese.
Do you remember when people had trouble breathing? They had to be on oxygen that was in a tank, or had to be compressed air. And now you can have an O2 concentrator at these little bitty boxes, and they're kind of small now. It used to be the size of rooms, but now you can have an O2 concentrator. Air has gotten less driven by gravity, that you can have an O2 concentrator, and they don't have to deliver tanks of air if you have problems needing more oxygen in your system. You can have an O2 concentrator now that just works by not compressing, but just concentrating oxygen, and you can have it just something you plug in, and it's no big deal. And that's not technology. That is the lessening of the gravitational pull. All right, now, when gravity is lessening, now you understand that the moon is getting closer to the Earth.
If gravity is lessening, wouldn't it let it flow away further?
Correct, but that's the anomaly. Mm. That's the issue.
Mm.
The centrifugal pull is getting more concentrated, but the gravity is lessening, which is causing the spin to draw it in more.
Okay.
That's why your satellites, remember they were starting to lose satellites?
Mm-hmm.
The grid had to be reorganized so that the satellite would line up with the triangulation so that all these different technologies could span the globe at the same time.
Mm.
And they got out of whack, and they started losing satellites.
Did they figure out what the cause was?
Yes.
They know, scientists know, in that field, they know gravity's lessening.
Yes.
And the reason that they know it's lessening because the polar shift is happening?
Yes.
Okay, so they know that. So you're telling us this is what's happening.
Now here's the outcome. Now we've given you some empirical examples.
Mm.
In your own real tactility that you can go with and go, well, now, wait a minute, this is causing a conundrum.
Right.
Wait a minute. Now, airplanes are using less fuel because there's not as much gravity.
Mm.
Wind shear is different.
Right.
Okay, it takes less energy to achieve the same orbit. Okay.
Got you.
Now, this also affects what you call time. But you're not going to trick those Mayans, and you're not going to trick those Tibetans, and you're not going to trick those Druids. They got it. They know that it's coming in time, or we're out of pamphlet to start a new line. But we've been around the stone, the next line. Up the hinge is up, so go to the next stone.
Mm.
So from hinge to hinge.
They know that the polar shift happened.
And they don't understand it, and they don't. And we don't know if their problem is ignorance or apathy, but they don't know and they don't care.
But they know, right? They don't know the polar shifts.
Yes, they do.
They know that, but they don't go into it any further. They just adapt.
Correct.
It.
That's correct. But here's what happens. You have a natural bubble protection within your human physical body called non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your earth, your ball, it's not even spherical, your ball, it also has a natural field.
Of non-physical?
Well, if you want to call it non-physical, but it's almost like a, what do you call those on Star Trek? They had shields. Shields up, Scotty.
Beam me up.
No, not beam me up, but you can't beam me up when the shields are on. But it's like an outside shell of energy that's a protection so that those Romulans can't blow you out of the sky. I can't hold her, Captain. She's going to blow. We're shields are down to 28%. We're going to have penetration in just a few moments. I'm trying to hold her together, Captain.
Yeah, that's the accent. Okay, so...
Okay.
The bubble around us, and then something around the Earth.
Yes,
a force field.
Okay. And what that force field does is it repels things in the path of your planet Earth.
Good.
Okay. Now, this is known. This is old school, Bob. This isn't anything. We're not tricking you into anything. We're not starting a religion. We're not trying to undo the Christ consciousness. We're not trying to tear up anything. We're going to tiptoe through your tulips. We're not even going to disturb the tulips, okay? This already is. Well, it has a cycle. If you take the axis of the Earth, and it's pivoting, okay, and you move North Pole to South Pole and South Pole to North Pole, then the axis is going to pitch a different way. Well, that's not a problem because it's still going to stay in stasis of its orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The wheels on the bus are still going to go around and around.
Right.
But you're going to notice some obvious tactility.
Right.
That you, if you're counting on your GPS to get you there, you're screwed. If you're counting on your calibration of where you are in proximity to your satellite or your satellite tower of your cell, that could get a little interesting.
Of your cell phone? Is that what you said? Cell?
Yeah. So that's going to have some adjustment. Okay?
Yeah.
And it will. But now, you're also going to, if you
The downside, it's like flash forward, and people start bashing into, the planes start crashing.
Well.
Not that dramatic.
Well, yeah, it can be. You mean, you created a Holocaust, so yeah, you could expect most anything out of you marvelous human creatures. That would be like trying to relieve, let's say you have a helium balloon.
Mm.
You know what a helium balloon is?
Yeah.
That would be like saying, you're getting too much helium in that balloon, okay? The balloon's getting too full.
Mm.
So what you use as a human creator to relieve the pressure is a very sharp knife.
Mm.
Well, it works, but you get a boom.
Mm.
You don't get a...
Right.
You know, it's like cleaning up landmines with jackhammers. Yeah, it'll work, but hey, you know, the outcome is astounding.
Okay. Carolyn, are you listening?
Uh-huh.
What are you looking at? A movie?
No, not
just
yet.
Reading it, but you're listening.
Yeah.
Monitoring this, okay. Is it interesting to you, Carolyn? Okay, well, I think you were waiting to see where I was going to go with the dramatic stuff about this shift. So, take us there if there's any dramatic stuff, Ion.
The magma, the circular interior magma, which sets the magnetic calibration from what you call an EMP, of that field, that's the field that's having to be recalibrated, is going to divide upon itself.
You divide what?
Upon itself.
That sounds pretty dramatic.
It is pretty dramatic. And it doesn't have to mean anything, but you could make it into large. Okay? Now Bob, you got this unround sphere, Earth.
Yeah.
You have a line down the middle of it, straight up and down, north and south.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you have magnetic north, which is got it at a pitch, an angle.
Yes.
Okay. But now there is a line through the middle. That's the only way you can gauge the angle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have this long. So picture, draw a circle on a piece of paper, the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And draw a line down the middle
that
would cross through what you call 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, then you have the skew. The magnetic north, which would be at 11 o'clock and 5 o'clock. But don't worry about that one. But that's what it really is. But we're only focused on the line down the middle right now. Now, the world is turning. Okay, it's spinning. not on the 12 o'clock axis, on the 11 o'clock axis, but it's still spinning. But then the turning, and then the it's orbiting around the sun, okay? So are other planets except for Pluto. You keep creating and dissolving that one.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. So, very good. Now, that process of if the Earth revolving and then evolving and rolling through its orbit, it's sort of like a if the same way like if you put your head out the window when you're on the bus, your head offsets that airflow, so you feel the wind in your face, and then there's drag on the back of your head. Well, the same thing is true with the Earth, because there's all types of waves in the force field of the Earth.
Right.
Well, when you change the magnetic pulse, you also affect the force field. Okay?
Yep.
So when all that happens when the North and South Poles swap is the poles, the magnets, are flipped. So now your north, you have different, each magnet has a positive, negative, north, south. Well, they're going to be opposite. They're going to flip.
South Pole will be the North Pole. Where Antarctica will be the new North Pole.
Yes.
In our terms, yeah.
But you won't change it. You'll just go south to get to the North Pole.
Right, but we will still call the South Pole.
Yeah.
No, we don't have to change the names.
Right. But instead of going north to go to the North Pole, you'll go south to go to the North Pole.
Based on our calibration, compass. Satellites and everything, we'll notice...
Compass.
What?
Compass.
Based on our compass. So our compass is going to, be opposite.
Exactly. But the Mayans knew that every 13,000 or so years... That happens, and it's no big deal.
Tibetans knew?
Tibetans knew. Stonehenge knew. They had all that was no big deal. But the difference now is air traffic controllers have got to figure it out.
Yeah, like Tibetans didn't have airplanes. There was no technology.
Really?
Oh, they did?
They didn't fly.
Did they fly?
They did.
Okay, so they did have technology that had to be cognizant of this.
Yes.
Would you say that ours is more complex technology? More
mercy, Lord. Lord, suffering cats. No. They've forgotten more than you've discovered.
Okay, so you brought the air traffic controllers. They got a problem?
Yep.
Well, they must have been told.
That's a little contrast. Don't worry.
Yeah, but haven't they told by the guys who were noticing this?
Well, but see, these are the same guys that can't figure out if a glass of red wine's okay for you or not this week.
Okay, there's some people.
No. Puffs are good. No puffs are bad. No puffs are good.
Right.
Puffs are bad. Okay. Well, okay. Screw it.
Yeah, I understand the argument.
Bad, it doesn't matter.
I understand the argument, but you were saying that some people are noticing it and making changes. But not everybody will, because the other team scientists won't agree. So, you know what I mean? They'll argue.
Well, and that's what's happening. That's the whole contrast. All the economies of the world have fallen. Well, but some people don't notice. Some people are actually doing great. So, yes, the whole wide world can fall, but it doesn't have to fall on you. Some are just so untactile that they don't know. And then they say, oh, as long as I don't have to go to prison. And then we go, well, are you not in prison now? You must go to work, sick or well. You must, because you got to have a car to go to work. Well, the reason you got to have a car is to get to work. Well, the reason you have to go to work is because you have to pay for a car. Well, if you get rid of the job and the car, it sounds like I couldn't call it a day. Right?
Right, right.
But now that doesn't have to be. There are those who have hundreds of cars and... Now, their trouble is trying to find a way to keep all the batteries charged and keep everything working about them, because these goodies drive them instead of them driving the goodies.
Yeah.
So, and that's just the distance between you and you, and it's not a problem. It's easy. Bus drivers don't have to own the bus to drive them. And so if you like driving a bus, you can drive a bus, and they'll pay you to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
How about them snackers? Then mm-hmm. all of a sudden now your job is the driving of the bus. You see? So you can turn things aboot to please you. Now, also, now we talked about candles.
I have this issue. We're talking about the changes and pretty dramatic. Now, we had a bunch of hurricanes and that. I've been thinking the last couple weeks, nothing's happening. Well, Carolyn says there's earthquakes happening every day, but there's no dramatic stuff reported.
More than normal earthquakes.
Right. And Carolyn knows how many, but that's more than normal. We haven't had any dramatic stuff, but it sounds like what you're describing.
We had a 9.3 earthquake, which is the largest ever recorded in your recording history.
Oh, when did that happen?
Well, that was the one that caused the tsunami.
Oh, okay.
And your...
Gotcha, I didn't know it was a record. But the thing is, the changes you're describing, the positives, that would explain the wave that's coming.
Yes.
Yeah, and if these are happening, then there's going to be a wave, because these are dramatic changes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Meanwhile, your moon is getting closer, which is having an effect on your tides as well.
On our tides. Hey, Karen, you want to mute that?
Yes,
sure. Well, why does she have to mute
that? I know. Are you going to bring that? No, see? No, if you're going to get us back.
Did you get us back, Carol?
Yeah.
We're back.
Okay, anything said while I was gone?
Yes. Why does she have to mute that? We enjoyed your dinner.
No, because she makes a big deal out of it, so she has to follow her own rule. It just applies to her.
Oh, good, okay.
It's her rule. It's just I was ignoring it, but she definitely has to follow it since it's her rule.
Oh.
Right, Carol? Well, don't answer, Carol. You're on mute.
She's okay. Muted, but she can't.
Okay, so you got this change happens every 13,000 years?
Approximately.
Yeah, so the Mayans noticed that. How did they know? Well, they noticed. They figured it out. Probably a lot.
Here's how they did it. Every day at the same time, they climbed the steps of the temple, and they were letting blood out of something, because that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And after they got through with that, they gave their blessings, and they figured out their perspective of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked through the little box at the top of the stairs inside the temple, and they go, well, what fun thing are we going to do today, Shaman? Well, the same thing we do every day. We're going to record where we are in the world. And then they go, oh, okay, that'll be fun. Well, that's what we do every day. Well, gosh, that'll be exciting. Let's see what it has to say today. So they turn on their chip body, and they open up their lying eyes, and they look up in the sky, and they see what lies there in the sky.
Mm.
And they make a mark. And they make a mark. And they make a mark. And then they started noticing through these stones, the stacking of these layers of stone, they start noticing these anomalies, the things that show up again and again. So then they can start counting. Okay, in 16 more clicks, we're going to have a solar eclipse. Because in their big cycle, they noticed it here and here and here and here. So they started lining up. So then you can start noticing. Now, somebody got a hold of this crap, which is not a bad thing, it just is. Somebody gets a hold of this crap and then makes that the end of time. Well, no, it's just the end of this cycle. Now, are there going to be changes? Well, now you better believe there's going to be changes. Because now the human creators have got it, and the doomsday sayers are activating this contrast, and we think it's wonderful because you know what you get with contrast. Contrast causes symmetry and alignment. Alignment.
Yeah.
It forces it. It's a force majeure. Now, force majeure, people say that's bad. Then some say force majeure, that's good. Well, see, in the Saddam Hussein regime, force majeure was good. It put him out of office. And they go, that's very important. Well, who put him in office? Uh-oh, that's another tale of woe. We better be easy there before you get the pooch pregnant again. So c'est la guerre. But
what does force majeure mean? What's it refer to?
It's when you have a government intervention.
Oh, okay. That's executive fiat.
Maybe martial law would be a force majeure.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's when you have something go on in the, let's say you have rules and regulations, and the government says, nope, that's not going to be anymore.
Right.
Well, then that would relieve a contractual agreement that was established as is.
That's force majeure. Now, ION predicts martial law in the United States next few years.
We almost have it now, Bob.
Yeah.
You have no rights. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a terrorist. You have no privacy. You have no amendments that you have to maintain. There are no rules and regulations. It's crumbling, Bob, because people are getting to the place where they're not going to pay for it.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay to be judged.
And therefore, there'll be force majeure to be judged. Well, the government will impose their judgment on us.
Well, who's going? If the government isn't getting paid, why are they going to govern?
I don't know, but you're linking. Are you linking the fact they're not being paid with the coming martial law?
Right. If the guards that are imposing martial law aren't getting paid, they're involved in martial law too. So they may decide, I ain't doing this shit. Love you, mean it. You ain't paying me, I ain't doing it. I'm good.
Okay, so you have predicted martial law, but you'll say it might last 3 days, and anybody else?
Well, it's getting to the place where the human creators are having it.
Right.
That's the point. They're not having it.
Well, then you gotta have martial law just before the not having it.
Well, that's
organized.
What you say. Yeah, you also have another statement. You say that it's always darkest just before the dawn. Because you're the furthest away from the light. Okay?
Yeah, but what about this point? There, if the government, whoever wants martial law, sees the people...
They don't. They lose control with martial law.
They lose control.
Yeah, but if they've got to make you comply, that takes action. They'd much rather you just comply because it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, so we're in the martial law now. It's not obvious, but if you think about it, it is. But they don't want to make it obvious.
No. Right?
They don't want to make it obvious, but the people are saying, we're not going to even have this fake, hidden, subtle martial law. But when the government sees that, they'll make it more obvious.
It'll be obvious like this. Here we go. Okay, taxes are too high, so okay, we're going to do away with taxes. No more taxes. Nobody's going to pay any more taxes. Well, in order to pay for this new massive program, we're going to take all your money. So now you're not going to have any taxes anymore, but all the money's going to be ours. So now, oh, hooray, Margie, we don't have to pay taxes no more. We don't have any money, but we don't have to pay taxes anymore. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. This is wonderful. I told you we'd finally live long enough to see that them old tax, that tax man would go away. Yep, they don't collect taxes no more. They got it all. Okay, so it's kind of like, oh, wow, good. Then all of a sudden, Canada's 50%+ tax starts looking good when you get half. You see, so we're being cheeky there. Not really.
You get half because they only tax half of it in Canada? Is that what you're saying?
Right, see?
Yeah.
Sorry,
they don't take it all. What you're saying is that those people worrying about martial law is silly, because we got martial law, and they will not bring in obvious martial law, but they'll basically, like you said, cancel taxation and but acquire all your money. That's a kind of martial law, is what you're saying. But not showing up as soldiers.
Yeah, a pretty serious one.
Hmm.
Have a different opinion from the Third Reich and see how you go.
Yeah. Okay. So
that becomes interesting, but then see, you still have the whole capacitor, the flux capacitor. Now what? See, because everything they move and shift moves and shifts something else.
Mm.
So you still get back to plumb and square. That's why the Masons are so important. Makes no difference where you start if you're plumb and square.
Mm.
If you're plumb and square, then you can maintain plumb and square. It, no matter where the proportion of where you are, of proximity between you and you.
Yeah.
If you make north and south upside down, it'll, if as long as it's plumb and square, you don't care.
Right.
Because it won't fall down.
Right.
So that's sort of how you go. Now the contrast that comes out of this will redefine some things. Okay? And it also is going to, Carolyn, this is actually going to have an effect on emotions. The emotional standards are going to shift because you're creating this hypersensitivity.
Yeah, you're still talking about the effect of the polar shift, not the Marshall Law.
Yeah, right.
The polar shift. Okay.
That's an outcome. That's a symptom. That's a runny nose.
What is Marshall Law?
Marshall Law.
Oh, okay. I predicted Marshall Law a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but
you're
a problem.
But you're saying it will not manifest in the way you expect.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're pointing out, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
And it won't be. It can't be any more dire than where you think you are now.
Yeah, but they still got to implement control, so invent new ways to implement control. That'll be really weird.
They take your property away from you if you don't pay their tax. They're going to get rid of money and then double your tax. Well, good, congratulations. You win. You got it. Okay, great. Now, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'll look after it till you decide. Well, now you don't have any tax and you have your property. So, see, that's not very fruitful because there's only so many you can pack in a jar, and then you got to have another jar, maybe 64 jars. Maybe that's that magic number. But the whole marrow, or the meat of the matter, is that the human creators always resound. They always come out. It squirts out somewhere else.
Yes.
You press it down here and it squirts out somewhere else. The same thing with your electromagnetic field.
Mm.
And your field generators.
Okay.
Because that comes directly from the human creator. And we're trying not to be quite so obsequiously babbling, but that's really the only way we're going to get you to these places to engage your dollar mile to try it out.
To get to the dollar mile, which is the traveling.
Correct, because there's no reason to.
No reason to...
travel.
Okay, here's the thing. What McLuhan called the doctrine of analogy of ratios among ratios or the proportions among proportions, that's simply expressed by push here, it'll squirt out somewhere else. That's
correct.
The basic ecology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were
saying... And that's based upon the pressure field applied.
Mm. Yes, and so you were saying to Carolyn, you wanted to tell her, note her that motion will change.
Yes. Crazy, what they used to call card-carrying crazy...
Mm-hmm.
Will have to be redefined. Card-carrying crazy will be different.
Because most people will be was card-carrying crazy.
Clinically insane.
Hey, but if everybody is that, then it's the norm.
That's correct. There you go. Perfect. That's perfect. So it's not a problem. But now there's
but
been no reduction.
But someone who's like me and Carolyn are not crazy, we could be called crazy.
You're the craziest ones of all because nothing applies to you.
Yeah.
You're standing. Judge my standard. Oh, I don't have a standard. Carolyn, do we have a standard? No, Bob, we don't have a standard. Okay, yeah, you can judge me by that standard because I don't have that standard. So, yeah, but hey, give me double of that. Whatever that is, I'll take double. No problem.
No you standards, know, I want
charge
double
me,
no standards.
Charge me 200% taxes because I don't pay any anyway, so I'm good. I mean, if you're not...
Marshall Law, like yes, sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. You know, it sounds good to me. So, see, if you're paying nothing, you could double nothing, and you're the same place that you were.
That's right. So because we don't care, we're off the grid. But those that care will go nuts under the pressures. But everybody will be going nuts, and all look normal.
Yes, and we have an example. Do you know what toothpaste is?
Yes.
You know it comes in a tube?
Yep.
Have you ever tried to put toothpaste back in a tube?
I've never tried, but because I heard and agreed before I did it that you can't do that.
Well, you know you can, because otherwise how'd they get toothpaste in the tube to start with?
I don't know that, but you can't get it back in.
It's very difficult to get it back in, but
right.
You can. All right, now here's your best little tip of the day. You can take a knife and punch a hole in a tube of toothpaste, plus, you know, the spout where it squirts out.
Yeah.
And if you do not apply any pressure, that's not a problem. The toothpaste will ambiently stay within its containered field.
Even though you punctured a little hole in the top.
Correct. It won't just squirt out.
Right.
But when you make another little hole, and then you squeeze and apply pressure to that tube, trying to make the little bit of toothpaste come out that you use to rub your teeth, well, when you have an extra opening and you apply pressure, it's also going to squirt out that little hole.
Yes.
Also. And so the hole's not the problem. The control pressure is the problem.
Mm.
That's the meme of the day. That's what you do. If you don't get anything else tonight, if you get that, then you're well righted. The cares of life will grow strangely dim for you, Bob, because then you'll be on the right path.
Yeah, there can be fissures all over the place, but if you're not reacting and creating pressure about it, around it, in it, there's no problem.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, it would be a perfectly good logical idea to build on top of a fault line. As long as there's no pressure, you don't have to worry about where to go when the volcano blows.
Yeah, now...
And it's going to blow.
Right, but the pressure, you may be in an area where others cause pressure.
Yeah, then may I egg? False premise, doesn't matter. See, you're the center of your world. Your world's the only one that matters. You know, Kilimanjaro can blow. Yellowstone can blow. They're noticing new pressures in Yellowstone.
Mm.
And that caldera, if that caldera opens up, Spurts fans, you're going to see some rocking and a rolling.
Yeah, but now, are you saying that our calibration, that's not due for another 3,000 years, is irrelevant? That could happen any time?
You might check again. It's actually 40,000 years overdue.
Uh-oh. Hmm.
So, your 3,000 years may be already up by 40.
Right, and we don't know that because we don't know what time it is. And whatever we say.
Oh, but you start looking. You start paying attention. Uh-oh. How are we going to pay for attention now? Mm. We got to pay for it. You mean attention costs something? God, they're taxing us at 100%. We're double or nothing. And now we have to pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, this is just getting hard. What fun is this? But what they're noticing is the painting pots are bubbling a little more than usual. The Old Faithful is getting a little more sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
Old Faithful is blowing a little more than usual. It seems to be increased. Because that's not a fault. See, that's what you call a super volcano.
Mm.
It's very different than a regular fault
volcano.
Mm. Because the stone that makes that up, it's already blown. So that's where they called it on the cartoon, Jellystone, with Boo Boo and the bear.
Mm.
That was Jellystone.
Yeah.
Well, this is Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yellowstone, the limonite in the Yellowstone, almost becomes a soapy, slippery type of congealer set. And the congealer set then makes a new place. It becomes a much more easy, it becomes liquid, what they call in San Francisco, the liquid ground, where the ground just goes to water. Not really water, but the consistency of water.
Mm-hmm. Where is that? Just underneath the surface?
Just barely, yes.
Mm.
And because, see, the calcite in that rock gauge from the igneous rock that it's all based on, it basically just evaporates. It liquefies.
Now, you brought that up. That's happening or something?
It is happening, yes.
Well, if there's a huge, that caldera goes, I'm glad to be here in Maui. We might be affected.
Why?
We might be affected anyways, but at least it's far away.
Well, no.
It's going to be so big the whole planet will go.
No, it won't go. What happens is it's just the ash and the stuff in your atmosphere, because we've already thoroughly established this force field business.
Yeah.
The force field that keeps the gamma radiation off of you also contains those particulate matters within the atmosphere. So it sort of shades out the sun anyway. So your blessing is your curse, and your curse is your blessing. But it's not a problem, Bob. It's okay, because you're internal beings.
Right.
And you know this. And if you want to say time, you're trying desperately. Even the Christian church, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the all of them all piled up together at the end of the day are trying to get to the day where time shall be no more. They say those exact words, where time will be no more.
And I have come to say, well, you've arrived.
You have. And that's not a problem. It is not a problem. And you can usher in. Now, we're going to draw a little pictorial here, and we're going to get back to the message of the day and get rid of all this empirical babble that doesn't mean anything. Because we want to figure out our perspective of 64 and how long a day is, and how many minutes in a month, and how many months in a minute, and all that gobbledygook. We're going to get back to the real deal. Here's the real deal. We have put together a work, and the first work is Thy Kingdom Come.
Right.
And what that does is it activates the non-physical within the physical, so that you have an empirical range of hope. Hope's not a strategy, but it is a realm. The hope realm.
Right.
And that first work does that. Now your second work then becomes Thy Will Be Done.
Yes.
So you take your power back. And at the end of that work, you should be able to be a relatively, according to Thoth, a enlightened being. Not capital M-A-N, but capital M-A-N. And if you get that, if that's all successful, then you'll come into your place of engaging your power. Okay?
Yes.
Now you're three. Third work. Trilogy.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that it comes in threes?
Yes.
Not 64. Uh-oh. Maybe it's a 64 series. Uh-oh. Because they keep flowing. Well, regardless, it's okay. Time will work that out for you. Don't worry. The last part is on earth as it is in heaven. Because we've implied that the veil is thinning, because you human creators have thinned it.
Yes.
And everybody's noticing that.
Yes.
Whether they like it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they get it or not, it is.
And what are they noticing? That more and more people are after death experiences, that kind of stuff, or what?
No. That everybody in Los Angeles has lost their mind, and they're also busy tweeting that they don't have time to chirp. That they follow their chip body, and there's no work, and there's no money, and there's no this, and then there's no that, and they're just like zombies. It's like the zombie movies that everybody used to watch. And well, how did the zombies make production?
Okay, but you're
saying that zombies go make cars and then go eat flesh, become flesh eaters. Did the vampires? Did they have a job that they had to do? No. They just had to sleep during the day and then suck blood at night. Well, how did they make money, Bob? Hey, but now most of those vampires were very well versed. They had lots of resources. Okay, so they must have got a lot of them money checks in this process while they're sucking people's blood. Or maybe they were just pickpockets and they were taking it away from them after they drained their blood. So basically the whole gist of this twist.
I need to ask you, so these kind of weird zombification is evidence to people that something's changing, and it could be the thinning of the veil, or they think that's the thinning of the veil effect.
Yes, people starve their babies, they kill people, they are terrorists.
Okay, people are noticing people are nuts, and I don't see that as evidence of thinning the veil, but I am saying that's how most people see
there. That's the default reset point of I don't get it, and it doesn't matter, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And that's called by default. And so people are taking, used to, people didn't even say bad words.
Yeah.
And now there are no bad words.
Right.
Words aren't bad. Say any crazy thing you like.
Yeah.
And it, okay, and then it's funny. Because you go, wow. You know, you can go, well, no, wait a minute. You mean you can't say butt fucking on national TV? No, sorry, can't say that. That's against the rules. The meme of the day won't take that. Well, what does that even mean? Well, when you start engaging it and you figure out what it means, you go, ooh, why would you want to, not only would you want to say it, why would you want to do it? Well, okay, then, but you can say golden shower if you know what that means. Because, you know, getting pissed on is way better than being pissed off. So, oh, but you can't say that because now that's over. Well, now, well, you better ask the bitch of the day. A bitch? You can't say bitch. What do you mean, bitch? What is it? You know, Lord suffering cats. You can't even say God, and now you can say bitch? Wow, this is getting quite open right up here. You know, that sieve, I don't know what you're sieving, but there's some pretty big chunks getting through the sifter here if you're going to have sensors controlling your world, you see.
Okay.
And we're not talking about locker room vernacular as opposed to grandmother's house vernacular. But what the point is that people are, and they don't care, meaning they are. And they're like, great, you've hemmed me up so greatly that I can't do anything, so if I can't do anything, it doesn't matter what I do. Okay?
Okay, so that's
now good. You're getting there. Now you're getting there, and that's wonderful. That's delicious. It's fabulous. No harm, no foul. It's all good. Okay. So then you get to, after a moment, though, that you can't put them in the box. And so, therefore, you either have to anesthetize them,
yeah,
or be prepared to suffer the consequences.
Okay, you either anesthetize them, or you, who wants to anesthetize them maybe, will suffer the consequences. That means the government gets nervous. That's what you mean, the government's perspective.
They are.
Yeah. Well, they've been like this maybe for 10 years, or is it just mainly this decade? Since September 11th, I guess.
Well, this decade is about—it's almost 2010.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, is it?
Yeah,
is
10 years. You did say, yeah.
Was it today or this last 24 hours? Which was it? Well, they were both about the same, Bob, after a minute.
Right. So, anyways, they are nervous. Who is that? The 418 group? Who is the government? That's a good question, I bet.
Yes, it is. It's in the eye of the beholder, but you have different tiered levels of even that.
Yeah.
You have your municipality, your local government, then you have your state government. Those are rules and regulations. Then you have your federal government. Then you have, now Chris Story says, they have a world court.
Yeah.
Now you have a world government. So, damn, they can't get enough. Like, you don't have enough, even with your regular... justice of the peace.
Right. Now, here's a thought, is that the crash in Wall Street was not caused by evil Goldman Sachs and all that. The crash was that people didn't care anymore. They got out of it. It's like the people are causing this withdrawal, and the government's saying, shit, they won't even pay their taxes anymore. Like, they're beginning to say, well, we got nothing to work with here. That's part of where the government gets frightened.
Yeah, and then your prisoners have so many more rights than your individual free citizenry that all of a sudden they start turning them out of jail. They're like, get out of here. We're not feeding you anymore. Feed yourself. And they go, no, I'm starving to death. I like it here. Everything's provided. You cut my fingernails. You cut my hair. You just take care of my health. You give me food. You give me pillow top mattresses and 1080p flat screen TV. So, you know, this is pretty good here. Carnation milk is the best in the land because it comes in a little red can. No hay to pitch, no tits to pull, so pour yourself a big glass full. I don't want to have to milk the cow when they'll bring me the little glass of milk.
that's why a lot of the old cliche back in the 70s was, you know, a guy gets out of jail, can't get a job, so he pulls a crime off and gets sent back to jail where he can get fed. That's probably even worse, I mean, more dramatic the last 10 years.
That's correct. So, but it's getting to the point, though, that that's not working, obviously.
So, the authorities say, well, screw this. We know you think it's better here. We're kicking you out to punish you. We're punishing you by making you get out of the real world. You won't get to work, right?
So you'll be in, really, jail.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything's flipping all the time.
As they say, well, you give up your freedoms when you're in jail. And they go, well, wait a second. What freedoms do we have otherwise?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't make a private phone call. It's all listened in on. You're subject to illegal search and seizure. You have taxation without representation. Wait a minute. Where are those documents that they started this country off with? You see, you have none of those rights or inalienable positions of candor.
Yeah, and part of
they're all but gone. Driving a car is now not a right, it's a privilege.
Yeah, that's why I think Carol and I have managed to sneak through the last 30 years by not having a car, not depending on it, and it put less pressure on us for whatever expenses that was, car insurance. That's how we managed to get to be relatively free and feel free. You didn't operate with much in the system much.
Correct. And that's perfectly logically fine. But then they tell you quickly that you're less than. You have to then have a friend that you go to the market with.
Yeah, but see, here's the neat thing. But we look at this. I know. It's always been, okay, we need a drive. But Carolyn doesn't get a chance to see anybody the way she lives her life. She works alone on the phone, has lots of phone conversations, but no interpersonal. So then she finds the nicest person in Maui and gets one a day with her. That's worth it, and gets driven. Like, it's a totally perfect way to have a car. Have a friend who will drive you, who's the nicest person on the island, is interesting, and you have a good relationship. So
they're good.
We don't have a car, so we can meet Barbara. You know what I mean?
And they're going anyway.
Yeah, they're going anyways. We don't put any pressure on them. Yeah.
Certainly.
And they like Carolyn, so...
Of course.
So we never had the less than issue.
Well, exactly. But then you have to make yourself vulnerable. See, that's the place of being of...
But we never felt that.
Well, exactly. So it wasn't a problem,
yeah.
See. But others that come in...
They get all screwed up about it. Yeah.
Well, No. It's like it is playing with JW. You got to have 8 cars... And you got more cars than there are people to drive them.
But you're saying JLB has to have that?
Apparently.
Yeah, but that's his situation. That's
well,
okay.
It's silly.
Yeah, but he doesn't think it's silly, does he?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
And he has to have a vehicle that seats 8, so his wife can go get 1 gallon of milk. You know? And then he has to have the sporty thing. And then he has to have the truck, the truck, boat truck. Then he has to have the luxury car. Then he has to have the little car that gets great gas mileage, so people don't look at him funny if he's going through the drive-thru. And then it just goes on and on. And then he has to have the Sunday truck. We don't know why. But then he has to have the work truck so he can actually haul things, or people can put the plate on to haul the lawnmowers around to do all the stuff that everybody else does. And he has to provide these spaces and things for things to go. And they're connected within the property, but you have to have vehicles to get around to the different properties because it's a long way.
Yeah.
Even though it's all connected, his next important thing must be a helicopter. Just to get him about faster if the air traffic controllers are still around to navigate the process. So, he'll have to have a helicopter to take him from his house over to his other house. So,
he's operating on that level.
Yeah. Well, really though, but it becomes significant just in the way things are crossed up. It's topsy-turvy business.
Yeah, he's the exact opposite of us.
Uh-huh. And that's okay, because he doesn't mind. I mean, he wants, as long as he just doesn't know lack. He's only embraced abundance.
Yeah.
And now abundant could be trouble. You see, you can have abundant problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You know, you got all this stuff, now you got to look after it. So you got to polish it and stack it, move it, box it, unbox it, and chase it and look for it, find it, drag it home, pile it up, unpile it, sort it, sift it, embrace it, enjoy it, fill it up, empty it out, move it around, and then you get to where you get to the place where you have a great big house where you can have lots and lots of people. Well, then you get so much stuff in your house, there's not even room for you. So you know, okay, the answer is we'll knock the wall out and make a bigger, bigger, bigger house. And we go, great, but in his mind, he knows, well, it wouldn't matter if it was 200,000 square feet. He'd still fill it up.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. That's not, and most people go, that's crazy. Well, it's no crazier than having to have a job and having to have a car to get to the job. So you have to have the job to pay for the car. That's silly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just, but yet that's the bondage that you get trapped into, you see.
Yeah, so I was thinking as you were saying all that, I'm so opposite from JW, and I was thinking all the things he would normally have to do all day dealing with all this, I don't have any of this. So what am I doing during the day? Well, I ain't doing much, but I'm doing something. And then I said, that proves I'm parallel traveling. Because I've been living this way for 40 years, and there I have nothing to show what I really did. I didn't have a car even to say I drove it around. So what the hell are you been doing your time, Bob? Well, they come over, there's not much going on here. Just because I do get on the phone a lot and get recorded. But I'm saying that I'm realizing that's what I have been doing a lot, but it's in other worlds.
Ta-da.
So you did that whole rant on JW to get me to realize that.
Yep, pretty much.
And I knew that halfway through. I said, okay, Ion wants me to get this realization. So I just got it. But that would, I mean, people have energy and they do lots of things every day. If you actually looked at me, I ain't doing much. I'm not running, getting in a car, driving someplace, and going someplace.
Yes, but other people are busy, way busier than you, and they don't get as much done.
That's right. And I have lots of time.
They go shopping. They spend all day shopping for the pillow. So much time looking for the pillow, they don't have time to straighten the pillows they got.
Yeah, I don't want any more pillows. It's more straightening. But the thing is, yeah, I get a lot done in the chemical body terms. But I must be going in the other worlds to fill in the other time. I get lost so much time on my hand because I get everything done so fast.
Yeah.
So, it's very interesting how one blocks it, doesn't remember it.
Well, blocks it and then ciphers it, the ciphering. And see, that's when you spend a lot of time trying to figure out the 64. Well, that's the $64 question or the $64,000 question, the $64 million question. See, it's all relative. And the relativity is the how, J.W. says this, and he's changed a great deal of his world. Now, please know, he's getting it.
You mean since March?
Sure. He's redefining everything of what now. He still has things that are important to him, and that's appropriately so. I mean, you know, a good Rococo carved to death 300-year-old mirror is probably more valuable than many of the relationships that he has.
Yes.
Because that carved, wonderful mirror that he can enjoy doesn't bite him in the butt.
Right.
Or maliciously use him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he has much, much more comfort mostly with fun things just because he can enjoy them and they're already are and it's fun. You see, if it wasn't there, it wouldn't make any difference because he had fun chasing it the first time.
Chasing it.
Finding it to drag it home.
Right, yeah.
You know, and then you start looking at it, and there's not many photos of travels, but he has housefuls of things that he's drug around, and those become a memory point of, oh, yeah, we were there. Mm. Oh, yeah, that was like that. Oh, yeah, I got that in Egypt. Oh, yeah, I got that in Hong Kong. Oh, yeah, I got that wherever.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I dug that rock out of the Yukon River in Alaska. That
so a lot of his acquiring things is a memory theater.
Correct. And those become fun touchstones of remembrance.
Right.
But then you can go there in your mind. Well, you don't have to have shit in your house to go somewhere in your mind. But sometimes you can go back and look at things
that. That's good. I want to go to another level. I was thinking about in the Ray Land interview in May, someone called up and asked if Ayan was named the Mayan god or, you know, South American culture god. And Ayan said yes. And then I put together, Ayan said the other day you had Templardom, Christendom, and Ayandom. That's a pretty big statement if you think Christendom was an era. Now, Ayandom will be different, not like Christendom, but is...
It won't be as limiting.
Right. And is Ayan a prophesied phenomenon that showed up? Because this, right when the third... You show up at the end of the cycle. So it is appropriate that Ayan shows up now, completing all the probes by Casey and everybody else up to this point. You know, so that Ayan...
The cosmically aware, the Ever-Browns.
Ever-Browns, yes. The cosmically aware Ever-Browns. And what would be another word for Seth? Sooth.
No, Seth. Seth was way fun, but see, Seth had a great negative connotation. Seth was the god of the underworld.
Oh, okay.
And nobody ever said that, but the reference, the inference was, and that was just the contrast. So,
right.
You know, create your own reality, and then...
That sounds like Lucifer. The Christians say, oh, that's Lucifer talking.
50 cents the ramp, and create your own day, and, you know, stick it to yourself, and that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah. So Ayan comes in totally appropriate for this time. Ion's going to clear up a lot of the mysteries of the last 13,000 years.
If they ask,
and they probably will, but it's like getting ready now.
It's where's my man? When do I get my money? How do I get my money checked?
Yeah, but Ion's going to give different answers than the others.
Yes, how
can
I consume more brown party liquor and that kind of stuff?
Well, that'll be fun because of the answers that'll be given.
You didn't ask about the most important part. You're going to create apostles within Ayandom.
Who's that?
You've done that with number one already.
That's right, yeah.
You've done a little of that with James, but not so much.
Right.
You've done that with some others, with your... Scooter.
Scott, the guy who converted over the past couple of weeks, he said.
I call him Scooter Libby because he can't make up his mind.
Yeah, that's right, Scooter Libby. Yeah, Scott.
And your Buzz?
Yeah, his Buzz, he probably, yes.
Absolutely. Well, look at it. And then they're on the team.
That's right, they're working for whatever
of
they
think. Apostolic of that one. They're working because they work.
Yeah.
But they're engaged by the apostolic faith and doctrine that they resonate with. They don't understand it. They don't have a clue and don't care.
But they know it's the best bet to align yourself with.
Precisely, because they resonate with that part. Sometimes it's the comedy. Sometimes it's the dry humor. Sometimes it's the... And you're pushing Ayan to this new... elevated state of intelligence. Well, so it doesn't sound that it's a country hick rube non-physical. So now you're splitting ions splitting ions and talking of chemical reactions in the brain, and people go, that's wonderful, what the hell does that mean? That's wonderful, what does that, how do you get there from there? That's wonderful, what did he say? Wow, that was really interesting. I have no clue what it means, but it was very interesting. And Bob says, see, damn it, see, I told you. See, I can prove that non-physical is smarter than you. And they go, yes, you absolutely have, because we wouldn't know if it was right or wrong anyway. Bob, the only question that we had was, how do I get my man? When do I get my money check? And how do I quit drawing cancer? I can start drawing money.
We'll have to say that on Wednesday. Okay, we got next hour, so start calling in. Ask us how to get a man. Ask us how to get your brown liquor. We won't prompt them.
right. Your brown party liquor.
Your brown party liquor, yeah. But
because people are where they are. So you've established that. Now you can go back to woo-woo land, because where they actually are is in woo-woo land. They're lost in the looking glass.
Yep.
And mad because non-physical won't help them get out. Well, it will, but they say, now, this way, go this way, go this way, go this way, go this way. I am not listening to you, Wizard of Oz. Not listening to you. You don't have a clue. Well, you can go home anytime you want to. All you do is click your heels and say, there's no place like home, there's no place like Oakland. Say it three times, we'll rip ride, and we're not ready for that. We haven't paid our dues. We're not smart enough. We're not able enough. We're not eager enough. We're not grounded enough to be all floating in the air. Well, then the wonderful Wizard of Oz, wonderful Wizard of Oz, and then he takes a hot air balloon and flies them from the Emerald City back to Kansas. When she had the ruby slippers all along. But all that action and tactility had to be a driving force to get to the place that was already anyway. already anyway.
Yeah.
And then you have future, past, present. No, you only have now. You do have all those other things, but those are dynamics that you can't seem to wrap yourself around. Otherwise, you wouldn't plan for your doom. You make a reservation for the end of the world. 2012, December. Do you know what they're doing now, Bob? This is the most hysterical thing non-physical has ever experienced, ever of all of it. There's been Armageddons. There's been the rupture. There's been the rapture. There's been the end of days and the exegesis of the sequential order of days. There's the end time warriors. There's the heaven. There's the Jim Jones Kool-Aid drinkers. There's all through this process, okay? They set it up. Now they're describing what December 21st, 2010 is going to be like. When we'd like to do that, if you don't mind, here's what they're saying it's going to be like.
Are you talking about the movie? Don't they do that in the movie?
No. We're talking about individuals giving people blow by blow. This is why, this is... Bob, this could turn out to be worse than Y2K.
Yeah, we're a lot more people preparing for nothing. Well, it turned out to be nothing.
Well, yeah, that's what they're doing, is preparing for nothing.
But see, with the polar shift, there'll be little hints that it is coming at the same time.
But the energy that they're attracting and forcing into place, guess what happened? Y2K worked out just that way. It crushed the economy at Y2K.
Yeah, it did.
But everybody's laughing, and there's many people who have storm bunkers full of non-edible food, but doesn't perish. Who would want to eat a food that never perished?
Right, so now tell me, what are they saying is going to happen?
They say that you're going to wake up in different time zones on that day. And it's going to follow the time zone.
Right, right.
Or it's where the sun rises in your proximity.
Right.
Now, we don't know if you just kept crossing the international dateline, maybe you'd miss the Armageddon.
Right,
maybe
right.
That's the ticket, because there's no time. So we do have a little fun with that. If you kept going backwards, you could continually relive the same day before December 21st, couldn't you not?
Right.
We're asking because it doesn't make sense, because once you go over it, you lose a day.
Yes.
Well, why?
Don't worry. Okay. What else I said?
Okay, so you wake up, you're going to notice there'll be a superfluous calm. Then they're saying that there would be gamma burst, gamma radiation. Now, this is coming from the sun, okay, so it takes a long time to get here. So apparently, it's not exactly 2010. It's got to come a little bit before. So
you mean 2012?
Well, it'll have to start.
Okay, yeah, it's coming 2010. Okay.
Or was it 2030? 2030, no, 2020, no, 20, no, 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 that's Barbara Walters' show, 2020. Dateline. That's it. Dateline. 2020. That's correct. With Hoda. With Hoda. Yeah, Hodicopter. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. We digress. Yes. Somebody's got to replace the vast crevice that's left by Lou. No, that's okay. Very wonderful. Now, 2012, 2020, 20, whatever it was. Okay. Now, that date, December 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
A lot of these things have got to start working at December 21st, 2010. Uh-oh, that's right around the corner. A lot of these things that have got to show up then have got to start then.
Yes.
That's why we kept saying 2010.
I see.
Okay. Because otherwise you won't have time to get all this in.
That's right.
The beginning of the end. Oh, wait, no, it's the end of the beginning. Oh, wait, yes, we've done that topic already. But if you're going to have Doomsday, you don't do it all at once. You want to drag it out for a little bit of time. You wouldn't want to be the end. Why talk about it? And all of a sudden, kaboom, there, you're done. That was nice. That was fun. Next, are we done yet? Can I go to the beach? Yes, the world's over, so why don't you go on to the beach? It's fine. But you know, I never had time to go to the beach when I was working, so now I don't have to work, so I can go to the beach. Okay, good. Oh, wait, by the way, there's no more beach. Oh, well. Damn it, see, there it goes. Doomsday again. Doom. We're doomed. It won't work. I can't even three myself out of this Armageddon.
Okay, hold on.
No, we're not going to have no blood flowing to the bridles of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And no, we ain't having that. And then all of a sudden, there he is. And he's rap-tap-tapping on your chamber door, cried the raven, nevermore. While I wander, weak and weary, while I wander, creepily creary. Oh, my goodness, cried the raven, nevermore. Well, all right, so then it starts with gamma bursts.
Yeah.
The gamma bursts don't get you all at once, but the first thing that happens and the big deal of the day is you start noticing a tachyon EMP, electromagnetic pulse. And what happens is the cell phones go down.
Okay, that's first, yep.
Oh, my God.
Then you don't know what's going on. You can't find out.
Yeah, you do. You can still tweet. You just
go
through. You can compose emails. You just can't send and receive them.
Okay.
So you log them all in. You can type yourself. Now, the screen went black because there's no electricity because the EMP knocked you off the grid.
Right.
Now, this isn't like the power goes off and they'll turn it back on. It'll take them, 4 to 10 years to recalibrate every transformer that blows because of the EMP pulse.
Right. So that's going to happen. All right.
Well, not necessarily. No. None of this is necessarily going to happen. That's what they say is going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. You've lost electricity. Every chip that is in your world no longer is able to power. Even your solar-powered things, the EMP knocks off the distance between you and the chip.
Mm.
So the regulators, the batteries, can't hold the charge. Your cars that are computers can't function unless you have an old car that doesn't do that. The solenoid, you don't even know what that is, but it's a little thing that starts the car. If you can replace the solenoid on the old model cars, then you can still do it because that's not a chip. If you have a TV body that's on a tube, that'll still work.
Okay.
And everything else digital will know everything is a digital signal now, so
whoops.
Sorry.
Okay, so that's gone. Next.
Never mind. So the today and the Good Morning America and the Good Day.
No Oakley.
That's right. No Oakley. Or Butterbean or Cornbread or none of those. That's all done. Now, then the pulse has started. So now everybody's in chaos because they have no way to get their Facebook. There'll be absolutely no tweeting.
Yeah.
It'll be tweetless. And you will only have MySpace, but no one else will get to see your space. instead of MySpace, I guess it would be called Your Space. Because you won't be able to see it.
Yeah.
It won't be visible.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what happens is there's a restart. Then it's a panic for them. They got to get the last loaf of Wonder Bread. Because it's going to go bad, so you better get it quick. Okay. So the last loaf of Wonder Bread has to be procured, and that'll how you'll know it's the end. It's when the last loaf of Wonder Bread flies off that shelf. That's when you'll know the end is nigh. So this is a Nostradamus paralleled quatrain. So you'll know it's the end of days when there's no more Wonder Bread to purchase with no money. Okay? Because the cash register doesn't work, and your credit card can't take a credit, and so they'll have to do it on crash, but it won't matter because it won't be over. It'll be, the bread will be stale before they realize they don't get paid. So it's okay. All right. Now, once that happens, then you start the shift. And that shift then starts a rumbling of the pressure. And it's very interesting that this on this...
You're describing what they're saying still.
Yes. Yes.
They describe this shift.
Yes. The shift then causes the oceans to start bubbling.
Ooh.
And it causes pressure, because there's pressure. Mm. It's the last loaf of Wonder Bread.
Right.
We'd hope for so much more.
Yeah.
Well, when the last loaf of Wonder Bread goes, okay, and of course they've stocked up on the brown party liquor, but it's in question too, because it's going to go pretty fast. The anesthesia, of course. Oh, and by the way, you'll have a run on the drug Profanol.
Okay.
Everybody will want their own bottle of Profanol so they can put themselves in an anesthetized coma for the gamma burst, you see. Some of the flesh will melt away after that sets in for a little bit. Then what happens is the cauldrons start bubbling, meaning the ocean shifts, because once that gamma ray burst happens and the north and the south poles flip places, then the magma in the earth is going to be confused, and it's going to start turning the world in the opposite direction. Then it's going to flip the axis.
Yeah, yeah.
And the world, instead of being turned at a small degree, it's going to turn half over, meaning instead of the line going from 6 to 12, they're saying it's going to go from 9 to 3. It starts spinning that way, so it will actually spin you off of your axis, basically. And I'm glad that we're embracing the 33rd parallel, because that's going to be plumb and center to that degree. So
yeah.
That's a good day.
Good foresight by JW there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Then that rolls along. And after a little while, of course, all the economies are gone. All the governments are gone. Everything starts rumbling. And with this fallout, then you will see fire raining from the sky by 6:30 in the afternoon. I mean, they've got it down to the time.
Wow.
In the time ranges. Because what will happen is once that shield breaks down, it'll start becoming a magnet to every asteroid in the whole solar system, dragging it toward, because see, you've lost your shield, so now there's no point of gravity applying. So by 6 o'clock, then the fire starts raining from the sky, and only a handful will make it, those that have thoroughly prepared in their bunkers. And then they go to Iceland, where they have the seed vault, where they've catachronically sealed and procured every seed known to man and put it in the ground, frozen ground. You know, seeds will remain dry and do just fine, but they had to freeze their seeds, so we don't know how that's going to come out. But
is that something that's actually happening in Iceland?
It's in Iceland, it's done.
So they did that. So you have to go there to survive.
If you survive, to get seeds to replenish the earth.
Yeah.
Because, see, you'll have complete ultraviolet exposure.
Now,
the rays of the sun will burn you up immediately.
Yeah, I saw a review of 2012. Someone said, not bad, but too much. So they must have a lot of this in the movie. Similar kinds of intensities, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now what's interesting is a lot of this stuff is happening, this polar shift, but it's not happening in this dramatic level. But there will be some dramatic thing. See, that's why people are going to think when that wave hits Maui, people are going to say, "Geez, that's going to be like in 2 years." If it happens within the next...
Margie, go get the Wonder Bread. It's over. Yeah, there's only one loaf left, and the wave is coming. We've watched it. We watched the water. The water ran out 4 miles past Molokai. The water went away because the shallow water is what really builds up the tidal wave. So you just look out, and all of a sudden it's sand as far as you can see. I mean, it's just sand as far as you can see. The ocean goes. Well, when you see that, don't worry because the birds have already flown, Bob.
Yeah.
So when
you don't want to see that.
If you're on the beach when that happens, just get you a big gulp because it's a coming. Don't worry.
Get ready to just remember that death has no sting.
That's correct.
Yeah. You're going to get sting back, but it won't bother you. It won't hurt.
That's correct.
You'll just be floating over Maui looking down.
So was that a review of the movie 2012?
No. This is what's on the web.
That's what they're planning.
Uh-huh.
Giving you blow by blow of what's going to be on that particular December 21st.
Some of these experts. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is, I'm saying, is some of these aspects are going to start happening over the next year and in 2011, yes. And it's going to make people think, oh, definitely it's coming now. Look, Maui got wiped out, you know?
Right.
It's what Ion said, you know, in the last show, or the one before, said, 2012 will come and go, nothing will happen, but there will be changes. You know what I mean? If Ion spoke both levels.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, because the human creators are creating the very changes that they're judged by.
And another thing, if people watch the movie, this is what McLuhan said, I think he meant this, you watch the movie, what you're doing right now, that might siphon off the drama. Even though it could make it happen right now, but if it didn't happen right now, by 2011, people are like, 2012, I saw that movie. They're not going to be energizing that. They'll be energizing something else.
It's always a 50-50, though. Half of the people will get freaked out, and half of them will say, bullshit. So it ends up kind of neutralizing itself.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean by it exhausts it. But Ion, I think, is suggesting, no, it's not going to exhaust itself. It's really helping build it up. Mm-hmm. What do you say to that, Ion?
It's providing a degree of consciousness that the consciousness that's contrasting. Mm-hmm. The conscious contrasting.
Yeah, but that'll help neutralize it.
Or be done with it, you see.
Be done with it meaning it won't even happen, you see.
No, be done with it, then they'll decide to transition beforehand.
There'll be
lots of Jim Jones Kool-Aid flying off the shelves. Know that. To the point that they're any little anomaly. Okay, here you go. Can we paint a 50 cent? We promise this won't be bad, but we'll make it painless and quick.
Okay.
The Titanic sinking. Some people knew they couldn't make it, so they just went to bed. The Gutenbergs were present. They just went to bed. Okay?
Okay.
That was the Bible manufacturer.
And they kind of, they said, hope to sleep through it.
And they just went to bed and thought, well, this is good as any. It's over, so let's just go to bed. Well, the unsinkable Molly Brown said, to hell with you sons of bitches. I'm going to make it. I'm a survivor. I'll whoop everybody that gets in my damn way. I'm going to make it. And she did. She fought it. And she was, you know, we don't know how Leonardo DiCaprio made it or not. It was not so good. Oh, wait, that's the movie.
Yeah.
But regardless.
Yes.
The point is others got ready and got to it and got to the lifeboats and got off and made it and blah, 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 blah. Well, others just said, enough of this. This is fun. You know, I'm good. Thanks for the fish. I'm out of here. That's that anomaly. Carolyn is speaking of this 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a crapshoot for us, too, because in the non-physical, we can encourage in love, in embrace, in enlighten, in imbue, and do all these marvelous parts, but we're in the contrastless zone. So when it comes to the grits and the gravy hitting the floor, that's the human creator's place to decide. We'll never make you spill your juice, Bob.
Good.
But juice will be spilled.
But not mine.
So you know. Very good, very good. So that's how you look at it. You see, others are going to look at this as a wonderful opportunity. Thank God we finally got rid of those Aryans. I am so sick of them neo-Nazi Aryans. We finally got rid of them. The sun just melted their flesh right off their body. Praise you, Jesus, that you finally got the race that we can work with. Oh, and them Semites. Oh, we're going to get rid of them Midianites. Oh, and the Ites and the Ans, and we got rid of this one and that one, and the Eases. We got rid of all the Eases and the Wands, all the Wands. We're out of the way. Thank goodness. Now we have a pure, good, healthy stock, so we cannot have any more of this miscegenation. And then they'll have a guild to receive the correct ones to repopulate your planet.
Mm.
I guess that'd be the true daughters of the revelation.
Right.
You got the revelation part there.
Yes.
And there'll be supper clubs wrought, and there'll be parties done, and on and on and on and on and on. It's just blah. It's just getting something to type on.
Yeah.
No. There you go. Now, that's typical topical. See, you're talking about a typical topical.
Yes.
Topical is a grease that you rub on the outside of your skin.
Yeah.
Okay. But it can be systemic. Okay.
Yeah.
You can rub things on your skin that'll be absorbed and cause you issue if you so engage. So it's this drenching yourself in this process. But you can want to create. You still want to create. Otherwise, call it a day. Go on to non-physical and be done. You're done. But why? Well, because you still want to create. You still want to mix it up. You still want to get up every day and be busy not doing anything, Bob.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm very busy at it. Well, I got a lot done. Okay, well, then you do things. Yes, but I have no idea what it was. what are we going to do today? We're going to straighten the pillows. That's what we do in the day. We're going to straighten the pillows. We're going to turn the bed. We're going to flip that mattress. You know, it's just forever.
No, not today. That's too much.
I want to spread it out. Because if we did it all today, we'd have nothing to do tomorrow. Carolyn, I'm lost and undone. I straightened the pillows yesterday. Nobody messed them up. And I've re-straightened them, and they're just as straight as they were when I straightened them the last time. Well, great, Bob. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take this and dust. Oh, well, dust doesn't bother me. That dust is straight. I've been all day straightening that dust. You know, what's the matter with you? If you disturb it, then it's got to be re-straightened. Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll re-straighten the dust. Well, Bob, we could mop the bathrooms and clean those up. Those bathrooms are fine. There's nothing wrong with that bathroom. The toilet paper holder's straight. What else do you want? Well, there's funk in there. Yes, but the funk is straight. So, Bob, forget the straight. We want to get rid of the funk. Well,
yeah.
Then what are we going to do? Well, then we get to wait till the funk comes back and we do it again.
No, I'd say, hey, Carol, you're right. Let's go to the beach early today.
There you go, right.
Yeah. I'd start going to the beach early. Okay, so we need to wrap up. So, we got the moral of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
We definitely got that. Now,
and it's going to unfold. Now, for your radio audience that you're developing, you can do a little bit of this shock and awe, but don't get caught being all shock and awe, because then you just become another one of those terrorists or plagiarists or pushers,
yeah.
And you don't want that. You want to be a voice of hope in an otherwise hopeless situation, and that's going to be your drawing attraction.
Yeah.
That's what makes people want to listen to Carolyn when they do their stuff.
Yeah.
They want to hear what she has to say because it's very helpful. It's good. It's good. You see. That is good.
So Carolyn, are you got anything to say?
No, I'm good. I'm glad I ended the tape with my hope, message of hope.
And they're banking on it, you see. The ray of sunshine is the thing that's going to get them through and also the thing that's going to melt the skin off their body. It's called the sun that warms. It does.
Yeah, Ion C said a while ago the Carolyn's modules would be successful.
Mm-hmm.
more and more people will be looking for hope, I guess. Practical solutions.
Well, because the tactile solutions aren't.
Yeah.
Do you understand they're making a new chemotherapy that's twice as strong as what they have now?
Oh, my gosh.
But they do that in the deli when you order a pastrami with double mustard.
Yep. More.
Bob's like, what are you talking about?
No, no, I get it. Wanting more.
The chemotherapy is a mustard. It's
you made a pun there.
That's what it's made from. It was a little bit cheeky. Carolyn got it, but it was like, why does that have to do? Well, that's what it is. It's the mustard gas that they use to poison you with seems to do great for killing them cancers. Or cancerers. Maybe it's killing the cancerers.
Okay. That's very good.
But we'll develop it, but yes. Just keep it soft on that line. And there's no topic that's off bounds, but you can, you know what I'm saying? You can grind it off. You can sage your house by burning some implements that make smoke that runs spookers out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also set your house on fire, mm-hmm. burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
The spookers are still there, but guess what? You can't because you know there's not a house to be. So there's always the degree that you want to embrace. So always be mindful of that process of keeping it sort of, you can be a little radical, but don't get so radical that it's kind of like, the hell with this. Let's kill it all and be over with because it's done anyway, and there we go.
Yeah.
So good.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ion. Thanks for the 64 pattern.
Yes, indeed. We are complete.